trying to tell you that what you think is wrong and what you're feeling is wrong, and it doesn't really matter, does it? Or maybe you've been on the other side of that, trying to talk somebody into something. I want to tell you just a quick story here as I introduce the principle of the day as we work our way through the principles, and I'll bring some of these things back out that we just watched just a second ago. But back in the part of the Dark Ages, there was a branch of science called alchemy. If you're familiar with that, that was a branch of science where there was a belief back then that one element could change into another element. It was kind of a focus for a lot of people. They were trying to figure out a way to turn things like lead into gold, and it's not really as far-fetched as it may sound to us, but there is some science behind that. But there was this thought at that time that they could somehow do that. Well, that actually extended on out then. There were some who also believed in something, and they were trying to prove something called spontaneous generation, which is where inanimate or non-living things could spontaneously become living things. And there was one particular believer in that really just wanted to prove that. He had been noticing how many rats and mice there were in the world. And he thought, there's so many rats and mice, they cannot possibly all be the product of just natural breeding. There's just too many of them. And so he thought, there must be something. They must be that animal that spontaneously generates out of something else. And then he noticed that anywhere there were large quantities of cheese, that there were large numbers of mice. And so he theorized that cheese could spontaneously become mice. And so he wanted to prove that. And so he got himself a box and sealed it up, put some cheese inside, sealed it up, and would come back and check on that box. And sure enough, one day he had a eureka moment where he walked in at just the right time to see a mouse having chewed its way through that box to escape after it had become a mouse. The cheese was gone, and this mouse was escaping. And it was like, and he couldn't wait to tell the world, and he got out and he said, man, I got proof. I put this cheese in a box, and it became a mouse, and it chewed its way to get out, and he was rejected by all of his peers. And they tried to convince him, dude, the cheese didn't become a mouse. The mouse didn't chew its way out. The mouse chewed its way in. But he just wasn't going to listen to it. He just could not believe that he'd been wrong about that, because this is what he had gone about trying to prove. This is what he believed. And so he was searching for proof of what he believed. And now, we look at that and we think, well, man, that's so dumb on that person. I mean, it's so silly. And how can he think that? But have you ever had that experience of trying to talk somebody out of believing something? Have you ever tried to use logic to talk somebody out of believing something that they deeply, deeply feel? So you know exactly what that's like. That is the basis then of the principle of our day today, which is principle number 9, and it says this. You cannot. Now, for those of you who are our guests today, I am in the middle of an 11-week series. A few years ago, I came up with what I just called 11 principles of hope. And they're just things that through my 23 years of ministry and counseling and experience, stupid things that I've done and stupider things that I've done and a few good things that I've done, I came up with these principles. And so here's principle number 9. And it simply says this: you cannot undo with logic a belief that logic did not create. Just let that sink in for a minute. You can't do it. You cannot talk somebody out of a belief, no matter how much logic you use. Now I know this stereotypically, we got a bunch of husbands in the room that are saying, man, I love this. I'm going to love this message. Because we stereotypically, we think that men are logical and women are emotional and all that. And there's probably some truth to that, but that's not always the case. But let's get this again. It means you can't talk somebody out of a belief using logic if it was not a process of logic that caused that person to believe that. And so it causes us then to have a lot of conflict in our lives. Sometimes we just choose to believe something. For example, many of you in this room absolutely believe that Chevrolet is better than Ford. Right? How many of you believe that? Can you tell me why you believe that? I know, because my mama, but my daddy believed that, and my granddaddy believed that. And How many of you believe that Ford is better than Chevy? Not as many, but see, and in the absence of, you know, you see, there are some things we just choose to believe. We just choose to believe. I understand. You dodge people. You're like, well, they're both wrong. So, hey, do you remember a time in America when you drove a Honda, you were not even patriotic? You remember that? There used to be a time about that. You were like a, you know, anyway, different thing. So, but sometimes we just choose to believe something. I had an experience in a store probably about a year and a half ago. Frustrating experience for me. I was standing in line. Of course, we're always in a hurry, right? Did you ever notice you never go to the store unless you're in a hurry? I'm not sure why that is, but I'm standing in line and there's a young person in line. And by the way, I insulted all of our millennials last night, and I apologize. I'm going to try not to do that. So I need you to close your ears on this story. So there's a young lady actually was standing in line trying to buy something. There was a young lady behind the register. And the young lady was standing in line. She had come to buy something that she believed was going to be free for her, because what she had come to buy was half off. And she had a coupon for half off, one item. And she believed that half off and half off means it's free. No, I'm serious. So she got in this line and she said, look, I've got this coupon for half off. And so I don't understand why I'm having to pay that. Now, I'm looking at the girl behind the counter. I'm thinking, wow, how are you going to explain this to her? And I promise you, every stereotype about a young blonde girl, every stereotype, she twirled her hair, chewed her gum, and said, yeah, that should be free. I'm going to get my manager. No, I promise you, that is not preaching. That's a true story. So, you know, and I'm just like, wow. And see, sometimes we come with this belief, and it's hard to talk somebody out of that belief, no matter how much logic that we use. You know, this clip that we looked at earlier about, Forrest Gump, where he said, stupid is as stupid does. I always wonder what his mama meant by that. What does that mean? He always said, stupid is as stupid does. That's what my mama always said. And I thought, what does that mean? Well, and I got to thinking about that, and I realized what she was trying to say was, these dumb things we do, we choose to do them. You know, what we choose to believe, in the absence maybe of logic or in the absence of a good reason to believe it, they get so deeply lodged that it drives our behaviors. And I think that's what she meant. You know, sometimes we even convince other people about what we believe. Now, you know, we see this in our lives in almost every aspect. Our resident golf pro is John Skeen. John actually is a very good golfer. He's not good at anything else, but he's pretty good. But he plays with people who are not very good, and that's why he's got so much money. But he plays with people and all you have to do is go to a golf course. How many hackers do we have in the room? Raise your hand if you're a hacker. All right, so you go out on a golf course and you watch these guys, and I mean big burly guys, you know, and they'll get out there and I mean just swing and hit that ball 280 yards into the woods. And you know what we do? The next time we get up and we swing harder. Because if I swing harder, surely it'll go better. No, it actually goes further into the woods. We continue that same flawed swing. You know, we get upset with our government, don't we? Because our government creates these programs that don't work. And we look at that, and it's obvious these programs aren't working. And so and what does our government do? Well, what's the answer? Well, throw more money at it. Create a committee, another committee about it. You know, let's put more staff onto the thing. Social Security is failing, so what should we do? Well, let's hire more staff to administrate. You see, this is the philosophy that we have, and we get upset about that. Yet now watch, and yet husbands and wives, we start the exact same conversations, knowing full well they're going to end in a fight. Right? We will initiate the same conversation with our teenagers, knowing full well how it's going to end. It's going to end in an argument. It's going to end in this. Why do we do that? Why do we continue to do the same behaviors, knowing that they're not going to be, and we always think it's going to be different next time, don't we? We always think the next time will be different. The next time it'll turn out a little bit differently. So as I, you know, as I think about that, you know, it's extremely hard to reconcile people when one operates from a logic perspective and one operates from a feeling perspective. But this is how people are. I think we're seeing this actually played out on a national scene. And I'm not gonna get real political, because if I start that, we'll be here all day. But I think we see one group that sees everything from an emotional perspective. Well, we need to increase welfare because people are poor and people are hurting and they need the help. But we have another side that operates from a logic perspective and says, yeah, there's not money for that. You can't keep dipping in the same well over and over and over again and expect it to be different. See, and so we have this conflict between these two different ways of looking at something, and each one is trying to convince the other one. Have you ever convinced somebody that disagreed with you about something in an argument? Has anybody ever won an argument like that? Anybody ever had an experience where you've battled it out with somebody, and in the end they said, you know what, you're right. Has that ever happened? Anybody? No. And yet we still continue to do it, don't we? Why? Because we always believe that somehow I can change your beliefs with logic. If you would just listen to me. How many of you remember that video of that kid, that little kid that was, his mom's name was Linda? You ever see that on YouTube? You know what I'm talking about? Linda, listen to me, Linda, listen to me. That's our lives. Our lives are like that. And we do that. So I want to talk, the issue is often two people fighting. The issue with two people fighting and arguing usually is the result of somebody trying to talk someone else out of some kind of a belief. And when that person doesn't seem to get it, what we usually end up doing is talking louder and longer. Every teenager in the room knows what it's like to have to sit down on the couch. Right? You remember that as a teenager? Where mom or dad said, did Peggy do that? Did she make you all sit on the couch? Say, we're going to have a family meeting. You know what that meant? You can kiss TV tonight goodbye, because mom and dad are going to talk for like 3 hours. That's what we do, right? That's what we as parents do. And we think, if I just bombard you with evidence, I mean, if I just dump so much evidence on you, you won't be able to resist it, and you'll say, Mom and Dad, you are so wise. I don't know why I couldn't see it before, but you are so incredibly wise, and I'm just going to listen to everything you say now, because I'm just going to do what you say, because you're so much smarter than that. That never happens, and yet we do it anyway. Now, that being said, so what is the biblical point that I want to talk about this morning? Let me get into some scripture here. Notice in Proverbs, God kind of tells us what the real problem with our issues is. Would you notice, please? He said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, God speaking through Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, he said, keep, or that word means guard, guard your heart with all diligence. Watch, for out of it are the what? The issues of life. Anybody got issues? You got any issues? Hey, do you know anybody who's got issues? We say that all the time, right? We say, you got issues, man. Dude, you got issues. Look, we all have issues. But we think that the issues, we don't understand the cause of our issues. God's pretty clear here with what the cause of our issues really are. You know, we have issues like, you know, we have anger issues. Anybody redheaded in the room? I mean, naturally redheaded? You know, that expression, you know, I got anger issues. Well, I can't help it. I've just got anger issues. And we don't know what the cause of that is. Trust issues, pretty common. That's been a common expression. You know, look, it's all serious now. Very seriously. Many people in this room would have what you would call, I have trust issues. I have trouble trusting somebody. Do you know what the cause of that is? Some people would say, well, yeah, I know what the cause of that is. It was what happened when I was a child. It was what was done to me. No, I'm sorry. That is a catalyst for the issue, but that is not the cause of your issue. Well, it was this bitter divorce that I had to go through. I mean, it was bitter, it was ugly, and I don't think I could ever trust a woman again, never trust a man again. No, it was the bitter divorce I went through. That was the cause of my trust issue. No, I'm sorry. That actually is not the cause of your trust issue. Well, boy, it was this thing that happened to me. It was this betrayal by my friends, and you know, I had these people that I trusted, and they let me down. They betrayed me. No, that is not the cause. See, the cause, actually, God is very clear about. Would you notice? He said, I want you to guard your heart because out of, look at the next word, out of it are the issues of life. the cause of our issues is nothing on the outside. It's something on the inside. It's our heart. See, my heart is the problem. Your heart is the problem. You say, well, I don't understand that because it seems to me that this person who did this to me, and well, let's take a look at what God had to say here. Notice God said, guard your heart. He actually wasn't telling us to guard our heart from the outside, to keep people from hurting. He was actually saying, you need to guard your heart so that it will, you need to protect you from your heart. Let me show it to you. Jeremiah, God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, he expounded on this and he helped us to understand what is wrong with our hearts. And notice, and look, you can disagree with this if you want to, but you're disagreeing with God, not me. I'm just going to give you scripture. You do what you want to with it. That's all my job. Here's what he said. He said, your heart is, look at the next word, deceitful. He said, it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Why is our heart the cause of all the issues in our lives? Because it's deceitful. Now, notice he didn't say, your heart is mistaken. You see, being deceitful means it's on purpose. Listen to me. I know we're getting a little serious now. But when it comes to our hearts, when it comes to that part that's speaking to us constantly, it is deceitful. It is lying to us on purpose. You see, what happened to you as a child was terrible. What happened to you as a child was by some monster probably and should be dealt with and needs to be dealt with. And I would be glad to counsel you through that and help you through that, or somebody else would, I'm sure. But that's not the cause of it. The cause of your problem right now, the reason you cannot open yourself up to trust somebody else, is not because of that person and what they did so many years ago. It's because of something going on in your heart right now, and that's what's going on in your heart right now is it's lying to you. It's lying to you. It's deceitful. It's lying on purpose to you. Deceiving you. Making you believe something that is not true. It's deceitful. And we really kind of think about this verse. It doesn't just assume the worst. Your heart doesn't just assume the worst. It claims it as fact. There are some people that, you know, when you, and good people, this has nothing to do with intelligence, by the way. There's some really, really good people that when something is proposed, say, well, I think this is going to happen. This is what I think we'll do. Your mind immediately goes to the worst case scenario, right? I think a lot of you wives are that way with your husbands. Your husbands say, I think I need to buy a motorcycle. I've prayed about it. I've sought the Lord. And he says, Harley Davidson's the way to go. But you go to the worst case scenario, you're going to die. You're going to kill yourself. You're going to be, you know, all these things. This is kind of where our minds go. But see, our hearts automatically lie to us. They automatically go to the worst case scenario. See, we hear somebody whispering and they're talking about you. They hate you. We see something posted on Facebook and we think it's about us. We know it's about us, right? Our heart is deceitful. It's lying to us, desperately wicked. See, we see this. You know, your heart doesn't speak to you about facts. Our hearts purposely lie about the facts. And, and the problem isn't what has been done to our hearts. The problem is what's doing to us. Look, and so here's what happens. So our hearts cause us to speak in, there's a big word called hyperbole. It's where we say things like, my children never do what they're supposed to do. Now, for some, that's true. Okay. I get it. No, it's not true. It's not true that your children never do what they're supposed to do. My husband never does this. Never? Well, my wife always nags me. Always? Well, my friends, you know, whenever I trust somebody, they always let me down. Always? Everybody? Everybody does? You see what I mean? This is what our hearts do. Our hearts take real issues and exaggerate them so greatly that it becomes something where it's deceiving us into thinking that everything in this world is bad. I don't know about you, but it sure seems to me like our national news media doesn't think there's anything good left in America. Is there anything good anywhere, anytime? Or is everything evil? Is everything bad? It's an expression of a deceitful heart that lies to us constantly. Also says it's desperately wicked, you know, and so on. So you get the idea here. Now let me get into this then. So many of us would say, well, man, I mean, okay, so All right, I can accept that my heart maybe exaggerates, my heart lies to me, fine, I can believe that. But my heart's not as big a liar as my husband is. Wait a minute, what does that say? The heart is deceitful above all things. Well, that heart's not as, my heart's not as big a liar as my friends are, my so-called friends. Wait, above all things. Above all things. You cannot trust your heart. Look, I'm just saying it. You can't trust your heart. You cannot trust your feelings. Again, you can disagree. If you don't believe the Bible, that's fine. You know, please know I don't judge you and totally understand that, if that's where you are. But if you're a Bible believer, if you believe that God knows what he's talking about, God said you cannot trust your heart. You can't trust your heart as much as you can trust your enemy. Your enemy will tell you more truth than your heart. Think about it. The people who hate you will tell you more truth than your heart. He said your heart is deceitful. So you say, well, I just feel this so strongly. I know you do. I have strong feelings too. I'm just telling us all, they're not always bad, but I'm saying you can't trust your feelings. You can't trust your heart. So we see this, right? I've made a big deal about this because, you know, I wanted us to see that our hearts are liars. Our hearts are morally corrupt. We see that here. Not just deceitful, but desperately wicked. And yet, we tell people, follow your heart. Right? We tell young ladies, well, I know he's sort of kind of been abusive and sort of shows signs of that, but just listen to your heart. You can probably change him. Let me tell you something. Young ladies, you can't change him. Right? It's not going to work, is it? You cannot change. You're not going to change anybody. Because you're never going to talk somebody into a different belief, especially if you're coming at it from a different perspective. No matter how much logic you use, no matter how logical you think the argument is, once we have chosen to believe something, it's very, very hard to change anybody's set of beliefs. And yet we say, guard your heart. May I just say, don't, or we say, listen to your heart. Can I just say, don't do that. Don't listen to your heart. Don't listen to your heart. Don't tell your children to listen to their hearts. Now, there is something we ought to listen to, and I'll get to that. But it is we've seen that, why would we want to listen to something that we know, according to God, is constantly lying to us? You know, our hearts tell us, you know, that you know, I see this thing happening, so here's what I think it means. Here's what I feel like is happening. You cannot trust that. So what should we do? So we have this enemy inside of us. What is it that God wants us to do? If I can't trust my heart, what can I trust? If following what I feel is not the wise thing to do, then what am I supposed to follow? What am I supposed to do about this enemy inside of me, this heart that's telling me things that are not true? All right, so let me give you some help. Let's go back to our text verse, and let me kind of help us all here with this. Number one, I've just got two things to give to you. Number one, back to this text. Number one, guard your heart. All right, so we said keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, what does he say when he says guard your heart? Well, it means try to have some control over what goes in, and then consequently what comes out of it. Remember when Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? Remember we talked about that a couple weeks ago? So what that means is our hearts have a finite amount of junk they can hold. Your heart has a finite amount of junk. Whatever comes in starts filling our hearts up. So if a lot of positive comes in, it gets filled with positive. If a lot of negative comes in, it's going to get filled with negative. And whatever is in abundance, that's what Jesus said. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, that's what comes out of your mouth. Right? But because we have a finite amount that we can hold, that's why you can sit there and just take it for a while. You can, right? You can sit there and take the verbal abuse. You can sit there and take you know, you Browns fans, you've been taking it from me. But your hearts are getting really full, right? I'm just saying, you're at the limit, dude. It's going to be payback time as soon as the Steelers lose to them. But it is that way. Hey, Mark, you remember, I remember, I hope you don't mind me telling this on you, I'm going to anyway. When Mark was a teenager, he was such a jerk. He really was. He was such a jerk. He was so irritating. I mean, he just would poke at people and poke at people and poke at people. And there was a guy named Richard, Joyce's son. Where's Joyce? Yeah, Richard, you know this. You verify this story. My wife will tell this story is true. He would poke at Richard, and Richard would just sit there. And I mean, he would poke at it. I don't mean physically, but sometimes it was physically. But oftentimes he would just get in his ear. You know, here is somebody. I'm touching you. Only in a teen guy kind of way. You know, it's like I'm punching you. that kind of thing. And he would just poke at him. And Richard would reach a point, and then he would just explode. And then Mark was in trouble, wasn't he? Now, Mark's a big, strong guy now. You can probably take him now. But back then, Mark was pretty skinny, and he got beat up a lot because of that. But this is how we are, right? So we will start a conversation with somebody, and we'll just start to talk. This is how it goes. We start this conversation that we think, okay, this time, this person is going to listen to me. I'm going to start this conversation again. I know how it's always ended the last 100 times. But this time will be different because my argument is so logical. You can't possibly argue with me this time. We start that, and then that person responds, and that person responds. And what's happening? We are filling up, and then what happens? It explodes into an argument. Right? Because we have put so much, we're lobbing negative into each other's hearts until we reach a point where it just explodes. And so he said, guard your heart. See, we have to... this is why, look, I'm gonna get real here. This is why constant nagging never changes anybody. you men are so funny. You're all like, you want to know what your wife is looking like right now. I can tell you what she's looking at. She's looking at me like this. Better me than you, right? That's what you're thinking. But look, constant nagging your teenagers. Does it change them? Have you ever changed anybody by constantly berating them? Constantly pointing out their flaws? Constantly doing that? It never changes anybody, does it? And the reason is because we're trying to use logic to talk somebody into something or out of something that logic did not create. We need to guard our hearts, and we need to guard other people's hearts. You know, it's kind of like that Hulk thing. Remember David Banner, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, when that gets full and he becomes the Hulk. And that's kind of how we are, yeah. See, and we all say that, don't we? We all say, well, I reached a breaking point. We say things like that, right? You pushed me too far. Well, I know I shouldn't have said that to you, but you pushed me too far. Well, what's happened? Well, we have filled up our... We did not guard our heart to where it got full of all that negative, and then it exploded and created all kinds of issues in our lives. See, so let me just ask some questions here. What are the things that provoke you? Does the news provoke you to anger? Then why do you watch it? Well, I need to know. Do you? So it makes your life better? What's happening right now on our national scene, it makes you happy when you see that? You just go away feeling so great about America, so hopeful. We're all going to come together. Does the news provoke you to anger? Then why watch it? Who are the people who provoke you? I know some of you are saying, right now it's the pastor. He ain't going to be my pastor much longer. Okay, then I'm going to make the most I have in the next 10 minutes. If I'm going to lose you, I'm going to give you a reason, like your parents. I'll give you a reason to cry. But who are the people who provoke you? Why do you keep going back to their Facebook pages? Why do you keep going, giving them the opportunity to poke at you? Why do you keep giving the same people who always upset you and always hurt you, why do you keep going back there? Can I ask you a question? How many times would you have to hit yourself in the head with a hammer before you believe the next time is actually going to hurt? You follow me? It's like, the next time won't hurt. Well, the next time will be different. Now, eventually, it will stop hurting. Everything will stop hurting. But isn't this what we're doing to each other? Isn't this what we're doing to ourselves? When I keep going back to the things that I know are going to make me feel bad? Why do you go back to the people who make you want to go back to your drug use? Why do you want to go back to them? Well, they're my friends. No, they're not. They're not your friends. Hey, your friends will not try to do things to get you to do things that will hurt you. Those aren't friends. Well, why do you go back to people who talk about you and that you don't look good enough, you don't do your makeup right, your hair's not good enough, your clothes aren't good enough? Oh, yeah, you young girls, you are beautiful just the way you are. You can tell those people that don't believe that where they can go, which is, you know, the mall and get their stuff. I don't know what you were thinking. What were you thinking? I don't know where your minds are. But why do we go back to people like that? Why do we go back to things like that? Why do you go back to people who cause you to doubt? Why do you go back to people who talk badly about your spouse? I said, why do you go back to people who talk badly about your spouse? You don't need to be around people like that. You don't need to be hanging around people like that. You get away from those people. Because all that's doing is pumping all that negative into you, and that's why you're having issues. Oh, well, I didn't realize my husband was that bad until you told me. Thanks for telling me. I didn't realize my wife was so much of a nag until you told me. I just thought she really, 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 really cared. Why do we go back to things like that? Why do we put ourselves through that? Whose Facebook page provokes you? What TV show provokes you? Why do we keep going back for more? So how do we need to start this same? Why don't we start this same conversation that we know is going to end badly with different people? Can we try something different? Can we guard our hearts and say, you know what? I'm just not going to let so much negative come into my heart, because if I let all that negative come into my heart, it's going to create issues in my life. That's where all of my issues are. That's what brings out those memories of the past. That's what brings out that negative stuff from the past. That's what causes me to question my spouse's loyalty again. That's what causes me to think, well, I'm single and I'm always going to be single. I'll never find anybody. I'll never be able to trust anybody. Wait. Stop. That's your heart telling you those things. Your heart's a liar. There is somebody who's going to love you. There's going to be somebody who will love you with the kind of love that God puts into people. And you will know it when you find that. You'll know that. And it's a love that lasts, and it's going to be two-way. It'll be a two-way love. See, it's going to happen. Don't let your heart lie to you. How many times do you have to date that same kind of guy before you stop believing that you'll be able to change the next one? Or that same kind of girl? It's not going to happen, folks. It's not going to happen. How long will we keep hopping the fence because the grass looks so much greener on the other side, only to realize you've just landed in another manure pile? That's why it looks so good. Online thing that you're dabbling with, sir, even though you're married, that's a manure pile. That's not really what that girl looks like. And frankly, if that's what she looks like, you're too ugly for her. I'm just you're in a dream world. Oh, I got this 10 that's checking me out online. Dude, you're a 4 at best on a good day. On a good day after the hibernation. See, we're constantly looking for something like that because our hearts are saying, you deserve better. Now you might deserve better. Please take this the right way. You might. But if our hearts continually are telling us to be dissatisfied with what we have, it is lying to us. It is lying to us. And it is causing all kinds of issues in our life. So what should we listen to? Let me close with this. What should we be listening to? I said, don't listen to your heart. Number two, listen to your spirit. You see, our spirit is the part of us that God talks to. Your heart tells you you're not lovable and you're not loved. But if you will listen to your spirit that God is talking to, you will find that God says, I love you, and I proved I love you. I gave my only begotten son to show you that I love you. I've put people in your life to tell you the truth Look, if you've got family that tells you the truth, if you've got family that are honest enough with you to tell you the truth, you're surrounded by love. If you've got people that in your life that say, look, they care about you for who you are. Look, you've walked into a room today. Let me just